my buzzing? Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. I just want to start by Dana called me during the week, and she said, "Rocky, would you please pray for me?" And I asked her what for, and she said, I just have this fear of the future." And I said, "Of course, Dana, we'll pray for you." And she said, she made a request, "Would you call me in front of the church and ask the church to pray for me?" So Dana, would you join me here this morning? And I'd like you to remember this young lady who is just so passionate about the Lord, and just every now and again she just gets overwhelmed with fear. Alistair, would you join me here? And so would you bow your heads in prayer and just stretch forth your hands towards Dana and whisper a prayer for her as Alistair leads us in prayer this morning.
Father God, as we look around our world, there's so much uncertainty. And people are looking for answers and there's no answers coming. And then we turn to you as our Father. And we know that you have always been the answer.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we know that fear is a great enemy of faith. And when fear grips our hearts, it's so hard to see what is so difficult to see because it's not in front of our face. And the stuff in front of our face can be dominating in our thoughts and in our emotions. And Lord, Dane is not alone in that. We all know what it is to fear. Mm-hmm. We all know what it is to be distracted from your truth. And that's Satan's trick. He loves to deceive us. Mm. He loves to tell us lies that look like truth. And so in Jesus' name, I just want to claim your truth over Dana's life. I want her to know her identity in you.
Yes, Lord.
That she is a saint, righteous, that the mistakes she makes, just like all the rest of us, are subject to your grace. And when we come before you, as we just have, and we say, "We're sorry, Lord, please forgive us," you say, "I will." And you wash us clean. And so, Lord, our future is secure. We have victory in life, despite circumstances. So I pray that you would help Dana to climb on top of her circumstances so that they wouldn't be pressing in and crushing her, but that she would rise above them and rest easy, Lord, in your truth. Lord, I pray that you would increase her capacity for faith so that she just sees your hand on every step of her life and her family's life, in what she's doing and in her future, whether that's career or relationships. God, we just give it all to you. And we thank you that we can come to you in confidence, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I became this very passionate Christian. Really loved the Lord. At the age of 19, I remember on the 13th of July, 1985, I just said to the Lord, "Yes, I want to follow you, and I want to make you the Lord of my life." And I became so passionate that in my passion, I became very judgmental. And I thought I knew it all. And I thought I knew all the answers. And anybody that had a different answer, I judged them. And not just judged them, I condemned them. Because Rocky got the answer because he knows Jesus. He is Jesus' blue-eyed boy. And he gets divine revelation. So anything else you got is wrong. And sometimes I'll go sit in a Sunday morning service and listen to somebody preach. And they say, "Oh, what nonsense is this?" And walk out of there thinking, "Oh, I just wasted coming to church this morning. I should have just stayed at home and watched telly or done something else." Until one day I walked out of church really disappointed with the word again. And somebody walked up to me and said, "Oh, that word was such a blessing to me this morning. I just felt so excited when it was preached." And that's the morning the Lord just gave me a slap across my face and said to me, "Rocky, the word may not be for you that Sunday, but it is definitely for somebody else. And if it's not for you, shut up. Don't make a big din about it. Shut up and go home. And go read your Bible and get your own word. But when people come to my house, they come for a word and I'll give them a word. And if you don't like that word, go find it somewhere else. Just don't judge my people because you think you have the answers. And ever since that day, I never had a single conversation with somebody about the word that was preached last week. Or if it was to encourage the person, I would, but I'll never say, oh, that word was rubbish, I didn't. You know? Because it touched somebody here, and you go out of here blessed, and I don't want to come and spoil that blessing that God has given you this morning. And you may be seated here in the same rut, thinking that, oh, this word was terrible this morning, I should have been doing something else. Yeah, it wasn't for you. It was for somebody else that came here and they got it. It just wasn't your turn this morning. So accept that. And go rejoicing that somebody has been touched by God's word. Because Jesus said, God said, my word shall not return void. It's going for somebody. And somebody is going to get it this morning. The Stockholm Syndrome is actually started, it got its name from a bank robbery that happened in Stockholm. The guy goes into this bank and he holds the bank up and he takes his, the people that he wants to use as his bargaining tool. Pardon?
Hostage.
Yeah, hostages. Good word. That word was for you. Yeah, so he takes his hostages and for 131 hours he holds them in this little room and and eventually when the whole drama was over and the people were released, people started to talk on his behalf and started to feel sorry for him and started to say, oh, this is a good guy. Oh, it's just the system that has been messing it up and just people that have been doing wrong to him and I think he's a good guy. And now the word, when somebody sides on behalf of the perpetrator is known to be suffering with Stockholm Syndrome. And the problem with a lot of Christians and a lot of people in this world is that we got so used to siding with the enemy that we take his part. Whenever we talk against the enemy, some of us defend it. Whenever we talk against sin, people defend the sin because they got so used to being in the sin's company. They say, oh, no, that is nice. Oh, look at what it's doing for me. It's good. And quite often, we suffer with that, what we call Stockholm Syndrome. I don't know if you're aware of a video that's making its rounds at the moment. Probably was on the news. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in my country in the last week. And while he was in one of these rooms, talking to people and doing some Snapchats and whatever, somebody from the audience just ran to him and gave him a flying kick on his back. Oh, you must check the video. Just suddenly, he just runs up and he gives this flying kick to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And when they spoke to Arnold Schwarzenegger, he said he didn't know what happened because he only found out that this guy kicked him when he saw the video. And if you watch this whole action, Arnold Schwarzenegger just went that way and he was back on his feet. You know, at 71, I would have been flattened out with that flying kick. But the interesting thing that happened there was that when this guy landed on the floor, Arnold Schwarzenegger did nothing to protect himself. His bodyguards just jammed this guy onto the floor and dragged him out. And I looked at that video and I said, oh Lord, it just reminds me of you. That whenever the enemy comes to attack me, I don't have to do anything. You've done it. You pin him down. You drag him out. You send your angels to protect me. And my protection is in you. And I thought, oh, this is amazing. I want to use that video to preach a sermon one day. When you walk out of my door at home, thank you. When you walk out of my door at home, the first thing you meet is a dandelion. Lovely, all in bloom, right out of my door. And then when you lift up your head and look across the field, there's a field of dandelions. So the other day I was walking home and see, you know where the canch is down the road? Opposite the canch, there's a massive open field that runs along the river. And the entire field was white with dandelions, all open in full bloom. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, harvest time. Let's get it done. And the next day when I was walking past, there was this big tractor that was just mowing these things down. just removing them from the field. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, before the tractor gets into business, get the church into business. Let's go pick those dandelions before the enemy starts destroying them. And let's start doing that. So this morning, I thought I was going to, am I on? I was going to talk about a message that has become very dear to my heart in the last couple of weeks. I call it the Ark or the Ark. And if you were in St. John's last week, I preached this message there, so you get a double dose of it. When I look at this, by the way, this is the exact specifications that's in the Bible, that somebody built this in America. So you can go to the Ark Museum Park and go into this and find all the specifications according to the Bible. That's the size of the Ark with the triple story and everything that's in there. And I looked at this Ark and I thought, and I went and read the scriptures and started to see what's going on in the Ark, and I found that this Ark was the safest place to be during the flood. When God gave Noah the command and said, build an ark, and gave him all the specifications, it was an ark that will be a safety place, a place of safety. If you get into this ark, and if the storms are raging around you, you don't have to worry, because you're safe. In fact, the Bible says that God, when Noah and his family got into this ark, God shut the door. And then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and it just couldn't destroy the ark because they were safe in it. And I'm reminded of this guy called Danny Boy. He's a Scottish comedian. And he said, imagine Noah coming up to Scotland and saying to them, listen guys, I need to preach the gospel to you. You need to get saved and you need to come into my ark because it's going to rain for 40 days. And the Scottish guy looks at Noah and says, dude, you're in the wrong country because we are on day 53 already. You know, what's your 40 days going to do? And when Noah built this ark, his family went into it. All the animals went into it. The clothes, God shut the door. And then it started to rain and this ark started to lift off and nothing on the outside touched it. And during my prayer time, I've been asking the Lord, you know, why is this message becoming so heavy on my heart? And God is keep asking, do you want WCC to be this ark? And the first answer would be yes, isn't it? We want this ark. We want to be safe. We want to be protected from the storm. We want to be somewhere where we enter it, we are protected, we are safe in it. And then I went on to read about the Ark of the Covenant, which was a different ark. And once again, just like Noah got specifications for the ark on how to build it, its dimensions and stuff, so did Moses get a specific word from God as to how to build this ark. And then I started to read about this ark, and it was totally different from that ark. This ark was an action ark. It wasn't a safe place. This ark that God asked Moses to build wasn't somewhere you can go for safety. It was somewhere where the action was. And then I sat down and I said, Lord, I want that ark. I don't want Noah's ark. I don't want to be in a safe place. I want to be where the action is. And I'd love this church to understand what I'm saying at this time. That if you want to be in Noah's ark, then you're going to get upset with what this ark is about to do. Because this ark, which is related to the Ark of the Covenant, is going to be action-oriented. It's going to be driven to do something. So while you ponder on this ark and think about what it means to you, I want to just share a scripture with you that is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 4. And for the first time in the entire Bible, does the ark be mentioned, and it mentions the contents of the ark in its totality. If you ever read it in the Old Testament, it will always say to you that in the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, basically. But when you come into the book of Hebrews, Hebrews doesn't say that it was just the Ten Commandments. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 4 says, in it was the Ten Commandments, In it was Aaron's rod that blossomed, and in it was a pot of manna. And I thought, wow, that's action, that's activity. Because for one, if it had the Ten Commandments, it spoke about God's miraculous precepts. That if you follow this word, and if you understand what this word is all about, and if you make it the center of your life, then it's going to take you into action. Because anything that the word of God asks you or speaks to you about, it's calling you to do it, not to just read it. Because a lot of us do read the Bible, right? A lot of us have a daily devotion, right? But that daily devotion calls you into action. Just like James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So the word of God, when you understand the Ark of the Covenant and the word of God being in it, the word of God calls you into action. The second thing that was there is Aaron's rod that budded. And Aaron's rod that budded talks about God's miraculous power. That when God is in the business, something has to happen. If nothing is happening, then God is not in the business. Are you with me? So in other words, if this church, WCC Life, is not impacting workshop, then is God in the business? Or is it just our business that we're maintaining? And in order for us to understand the miraculous power of God, that miraculous power has to move out into the community, and the community must be impacted by it, so that we will know God is impacting by His power. Are you with me? God's miraculous power has to be there. I always ask this question often whenever I go to preach in churches. And the question is this. If this church has to shut down tomorrow, we have to close doors, will workshop miss it? Oh, we will miss it. We, members of the church, will miss it. We'd love to come back to it. Will workshop as a community miss it? And the chances are, no, we don't. Why? Because we're not there where workshop is. Where workshop needs us to be. So in order for us to understand God's miraculous power, every time the Ark of the Covenant walked past the children of Israel, they understood that God's miraculous precepts, God's miraculous word was in it. They understood that God's miraculous power was in it because of Aaron's rod that budded. And just to give you a background on Aaron's rod, there was a contention amongst the Israelites as to who should be the chief in the Israelite camp. And nobody wanted Aaron to be in it. So God came to Moses and said, go and tell the children of Israel to get a twig about a foot long, and I want you to throw it into the tent of meetings, and tomorrow morning come, and the twig that budded will be the person that I've chosen. So each tribe went and got the twig, wrote the name on it, and when they threw it in, the Bible says that Aaron's rod budded. God's miraculous power was shown again to prove who He has appointed to do the work that He's called Him to do, that He's called to be done in that community. And the third thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant was a pot of manna, God's miraculous provision. That God will always be your provider. You can trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. You can trust in your bank balance, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. You will trust in whatever you possess, but we will trust in the name of the Lord, because our confidence and our hope and our trust is in God and God alone. Amen. Nothing else matters. So can you imagine every time these guys carried this Ark of the Covenant and walked into the community or wherever they walked? Can you imagine the children of Israel standing on the side and saying, oh, here goes God's miraculous power. Here goes God's miraculous precepts. Here goes God's miraculous provision. Every single time they saw it, and they knew that the confidence can be in the one person alone, and that is God and God alone. Now let's shift gear. Let's think about every time this Ark of the Covenant was carried into the community, what happened? Anybody knows of anything that happened when the Ark of the Covenant was carried?
The Jordan parted.
Pardon?
The Jordan
the Jordan parted, the first time that Joshua said, we're going to go across into the promised land, and the minute they stepped, the priest stepped into the water of the Jordan parted. You see, when the Ark of the Covenant is present, action happens. The miraculous happens. Are we trusting God for the miraculous? What else? What other thing happened when the Ark of the Covenant was carried? Yes, Dagon, the god of the Philistines. There came a time when the Philistines captured the Ark, and they thought, oh, we can have the victory, because we got the Ark now. Every time the Ark was with the Israelites, they had the victory. Now that we've got the Ark, let us get the victory. So they take this Ark, which belongs to the Most Holy God, and places it in the Philistine temple next to their god called Dagon. And the next morning they get up and go to the temple, and Dagon is flat on his face. Just a statue, nothing else. So they thought, maybe the wind blew it. So let's pick him up and put him back on his place, but leave the Ark there. When they did that, the next morning they got there, and his arms were broken, his legs were broken, just his torso was left. Why? Because the presence of God is in the place. And if the presence of God is in the place, every false idea, every false plan that we have will come crashing down, because it doesn't tie in with the presence of God. And this morning I'm trusting God to drop everything that we are making it man's ideas. And we say, we'll put this together and we'll put that together and we'll plan this and we'll plan that and we'll be in control. And every time you put something in place to be in control of, God comes and he says, but I want to do it differently. I want to be in control. And when you take this entire thing and give it to God and put him in control, things start to happen. There was a time again when the Ark of the Covenant was captured, and David went to rescue it. And as he was coming back to the city, you remember they put it on this cart, and this, Uzzah touched the cart, and he was struck down dead immediately. And when David saw that, he just cried out unto the Lord. But then he was afraid to take this cart to his house or to Jerusalem. And he said, let's move it to Obed-Edom's house. And the Bible says they moved it into Obed-Edom's house, and Obed-Edom was blessed as long as the ark was in his house. Church, my call to you this morning as a child of God, that we need to start trusting God for bigger than the things we control God with. We need to be trusting God for, we're saying to God, God, we really want your presence. I think it was Moses who said, we will not go if your presence doesn't go with us. We want you here, Lord. We want to know that you are present with us. And I'm calling for the return of the ark, not just in this church, but in every individual life this morning, in your life. That when you walk on the streets of workshop, the presence of God will be so mighty on you that things start to happen around you. You think we can get there?
Yes.
Let's not take this great God for granted. I like the way the music team changed that song, The Great I Am, The Great I Am. I love it. We want to take the Great I Am into this community. But first of all, the Great I Am has to be here. And we can't control the Great I Am, because he is greater than I am. Amen?
Amen.
He's all powerful.
Yes.
He's our great provider. He is our sustainer. He is Lord of all. So this morning you are seated here, and I'm asking you, what are you trusting God to do through you in this community? What are you trusting God to do through you in your family? You know, I'm a product of my mother's prayer, who constantly prayed. Even when I was out drinking with friends, you come home drunk and you can hear your mother praying. And today we sit here, we stand here and minister God's word because of that prayer. You may be seated here and you're worried about your child. Worry no more. Take that child and place that child with God. And say to God, God, I'm trusting you to bring my child back home. I know you can bring my child back home. I don't care what influence they're getting out there. I'm trusting you to bring my child back home this morning. Well, how does it start? with the presence of God coming back into your life personally. You're starting to trust God, not with the, for the sake of, I'll just say a prayer this morning, because it's my prayer time. Not because I'll do my devotions, because it's devotion time. But to the point of saying to God, I want your word to saturate me so much that every waking moment I think and act upon the word and your promises to me. That's what God is calling us to this morning. I want the Ark of the Covenant back in the house of God first. And then when we carry it together into this community, Dagon is going to fall. Prostitution is going to fall. Nightclubs are going to close. Everywhere that sin is propagating in this community, the presence of God is going to be so mighty in this church that when we walk out of here, when we go into the community as a collective, the presence of God is going to be so mighty that sin will not exist in the presence of God. But you've got to believe that. You've got to. If you don't believe it, nothing can happen. I can preach here till I turn blue. But if you don't believe that God wants to do the impossible in our lives, God wants to do the miraculous in our lives, that God wants to provide for that which He wants to get done, not just in Worksop, but in the UK at large and in the world. We want to become real extenders of God's kingdom. But it can only happen when the presence is restored. When God is back. When God is saying, right, let me do this thing with you. And we trust Him completely and totally for it. I want the Ark. I want His presence. I want to know that He's here. I want to come on a Sunday morning and He upsets everything. Because He's here. And we're not in control of Him. He's in control of us. That we say, Holy Spirit, do unto us as you please this morning. And then He takes over. And once we know that His presence is here and we walk out, we see His presence making a difference. I keep talking about Christian schizophrenia. I keep reminding us about that. Because we come here on a Sunday morning and we're one thing. We walk out the door and we're something else. And that's why we're not having an impact in this, in the world. Somebody said that the world has become so churchy and the church has become so worldly that there's no line of demarcation. We become tolerant. We've become accepting of anything and everything. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. When the presence of God comes back, He deals with our sinfulness and brings us into righteousness. And if the church becomes righteous, imagine what will happen to this community. Walking in that righteousness. Walking in that truth. Somebody said, you know why there's so much evil out there in the world? Because there's so much evil in here. You know why there's so much of sin out there in the world? It's because there's so much of sin in here. I struggle on a daily basis of how we spend loads of time discussing visible sins. And we don't touch invisible sins. Sins of the heart, sins of the mind, that we can't read. We don't know what you're doing behind closed doors. And when the Ark comes back, you'll deal with it automatically. Nobody have to preach a sermon on sin again. You will just say, Lord, I can't handle the sinfulness in my life because your presence is so mighty. Let me tell you, church, this morning as I close, that the only reason Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden is because of sin. No other reason. What does it tell you? That God is serious about holiness. God is serious about righteousness. And He's calling the church to righteousness and holiness this morning. You want the Ark back? It may be detrimental to you if you continue living in sin. Because the Ark cannot be where sin is. Let's pray together this morning. Take a few moments to ponder what what God is saying to you. We don't need a physical box called the ark. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He is our ark of the covenant. And he constantly leads us into righteousness. And as you are in an attitude of prayer this morning, think about the one thing that God is talking to you about. He's calling you Father God, we really want your presence back in our lives. Amen. We really want your presence back in this church. Amen. We really want to walk into this community with your presence, Lord. So powerful and mighty. That men and women will come to your saving knowledge, the saving knowledge of your precious grace. And men and women will start coming into your kingdom because your children who are called by your name know how to live righteous, know how to live holy, know how to walk with you and be with you and understand your grace and mercy. So we thank you this morning, Lord. Help us to connect to you.
Amen.
Help us to connect to you so that we know what it is to have your awesome power in our lives.
Amen, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. As the worship team comes forward, I just want to make a quick announcement. If you are interested in getting baptized, please see Steve Bannister. And then I also have a good news to share with the church, is that 2 weeks ago, we have become grandparents. So we have a lovely baby boy called Josiah Riley. And we're far away from them, but we're hoping that we'll get a chance to see them soon. So God bless you and thank you for your prayers for us. Amen. I'll show you a picture next week.